spying isn't what it used to be. Contemporary spies need neither cloak nor dagger when they're expert computer hackers. Clifford Stoll made front page news when he unveiled an international spy ring that had infiltrated military and government computers. Stoll is an astronomer who was managing the computer systems at a University of California lab that had government contracts when he discovered an accounting discrepancy. He found that 75 cents of computer time was unaccounted for. His investigation of this discrepancy concluded in the arrest of a West German spy who sold information to the KGB. Stoll's year-long detective work tracking the hacker is described in his new book, The Cuckoo's Egg. I asked him why a measly 75-cent error had bothered him.
To me, the interesting things in science are always way down in the noise. The big giant things that leap out and grab everyone else. No, I'm looking for the minor little noise, the little tiny things. And that 75-cent error was enough to open my eyebrows.
At what point did you call the FBI?
We called them the first day, and they said, "You're calling us up to tell us about a 75-cent error in your computer? Go away, kid! It's costing us more than 75 cents to even talk to you." So for months and months, they weren't interested. They wanted only major, big, million-dollar cases. And to us, we saw it as a case of espionage. They saw it as a minor 75-cent error in some scientific computer's operating system.
What made you think that the 75-cent error had anything to do with espionage?
At first, nothing. At first, I thought it was someone, some student, breaking in and having a good time fooling around. But then I started printing out everything this guy did. I started looking at everything this person took out of our computer, and we found that, no, he wasn't interested in astronomy and physics. He wanted to just take information from military computers. He'd connect into a military system and search for words on the stealth bomber, search for documents about nuclear preparedness in Central Europe. He'd search for information about strategic defense initiatives in Star Wars. Here's somebody who's just trying to get military secrets.
And how did you know what this person was searching for? How could you track them?
Every time he'd break into our computer, we had a printer that would print out whatever he did, whatever he saw. We were watching over his shoulder.
How did you know it was him? How could you identify?
We identified him from where he came from, by the networks that he used, but especially by the accounts and the passwords that he broke into our computer with. It was early on pretty clear that he would just pick certain people who were no longer at our laboratory, and he'd steal their accounts, steal their computer areas, and use those to break into other computers.
So you called the FBI the first day that you found the error. They weren't interested because it was such a small error, just 75 cents. You later called the CIA. They had a different reaction.
Yeah, this guy tried to break into the CIA. He searched for a pathway to get into the CIA. I called the CIA, and they said, "Hey, this is serious stuff. Don't move. Wait there. We'll fly three people out tomorrow." And so here I am in Berkeley, California, where all the long-haired radicals hang out. And the CIA flies three people in from Washington, and I gave them a chalk talk the next day, and their reaction was, "Hey, this is serious business. We've been talking about this happening, but we've never observed it before. We've thought that this might happen, that some spy might break into a computer, but this is the first real case that we have."
And you were the one who spotted that this computer spy was breaking into CIA files?
He wasn't breaking into the CIA. No, you can't get there because the CIA's computers are completely isolated. You can't get there. Rather, this guy tried to. He was searching for ways to get in, and we detected it, told the CIA about it, and they took it seriously.
Were you uncomfortable about working with the CIA?
Uncomfortable? I'm a long-haired hippie from Berkeley. I'm an astronomer. I have no security clearances. I'm indeed uncomfortable. One of my problems is that that some of my lefty friends have essentially disowned me for dealing with these secret agencies.
Were they uncomfortable working with you?
Uncomfortable? Yes. They like people who wear ties. They like people who have security clearances. They like people who work under contract to them. They like people who share the same politics as they do. And instead, here I found a commonality that went beyond politics, where here is an outsider, genuinely an adversary, breaking in, stealing information to sell to the Soviet KGB.
So what you felt you shared with the CIA was vulnerability.
Yes, yes. What I shared with them is literally what's in the book, that here are the ways that this computer hacker broke into our computer, broke into these other computers. Here are the ways that almost any outsider can extract sensitive information. And at the same time, here are the ways to protect this information. To me, it was at first a mystery of how is this guy breaking in? After a while, my suspense was, who is this person? Where's this guy coming from? Eventually, I began to ask myself, well, what does this mean about, I guess, national policy? What about national secrets that are stored inside of computers? How well should they be protected? And I've worried and thought about it, and I'm delighted that it's somebody else's problem because I'm heading back to astronomy.
Now, one of the things you did was that you rigged your computer at Berkeley so that it would beep when the hacker signed on, and that way you were able to read over his shoulder. Eventually, you set up a fake file. Can you explain why you set up a fake file and how you set it up? What was in it?
We were getting almost no support from the FBI. Nobody was telling us what to do, how to do, and the beeper that I'd wear would sound off every time this hacker broke into my computer so he could start a phone trace. But the guy was smart. He'd only log in for 5-10 minutes at a time, steal something, and disappear. Wasn't on long enough for us to complete a telephone trace, literally halfway around the world. What I had to do was create some completely false information. Enough information so it'll take him an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to copy it all back to Europe. So he did that. We created, reams and reams of bogus, false, fake classified information. It was phony stuff about SDI Network, a Star Wars project. Just gobbledygook, a figment of my imagination. Put it all in our computer, and sure enough, the next day, 2 days later, or 3 days later, this hacker comes into our computer and starts copying all of this stuff out back to his system in Germany. And during that time, we're able to complete a trace. Found out who was doing it, who was breaking in. 3 months later, a letter arrives in the mail addressed to one of the fictitious secretaries mentioned in one of these bogus documents. Letter says, hey, please send us more information about this SDI network that you have up in Berkeley. Please send us more information about this document, that document, and send us copies of these things. At that point, it was suddenly clear that this information wasn't just going to Hanover, Germany, because the letter was postmarked Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. At this point, the FBI no longer saw it as a 75-cent problem, but as a serious case of espionage.
So now that you know who the hacker was, tell us who he was and what his motivations were.
5 people were arrested in Germany in charges of espionage. They're going on trial in about 3 weeks or a month. The person that we followed was a 25-year-old, 26-year-old computer programmer who has about 5 or 10 years' experience in programming systems. Apparently, these people were breaking into military computers, copying the stuff down, getting the printouts, and selling them to the Soviet KGB, the Soviet spy organization in East Berlin, to the tune of $20,000, $30,000 a year, and then using that money to buy other computer equipment to break into still more computers.
Well, now that you have helped crack this ring of hackers, of computer spies, have you come up with any ideas about how to make computers less vulnerable to computer spies?
At least a part of the problem is that none of the computers that this guy broke into were secured very well. It seems that the people running the computers bury the keys to the computer under the doormat. They pick passwords that are weak, that are guessable.
I'm not going to ask you to give away the passwords that you're using in your computers, but what makes a password good?
The person cracking passwords doesn't sit there at a typewriter and type them in one by one, guessing them. No, this person will program a computer to scan all of the words in a dictionary, 100,000, 200,000 word dictionaries. He'll just write a program that says, hey, computer, sit there and try every possible password in the dictionary, and sooner or later you'll guess them. So any password like hummingbird or buzzard, hey, poor passwords. Instead, find words that you can't spell, like misspell a word or misspell someone's name or spell a word sideways or put 2 words next to one another that have no meaning. In other words, don't pick anything that might show up in a dictionary. Don't pick passwords that are on the tip of somebody else's tongue. Pick things that actually look strange or are strange because no computer program will be able to search for it in a dictionary.
Do you consider yourself out of the computer spy business now?
I wish I were. Oh, I wish I were. I'm trying desperately to get back into astronomy, but every time a new virus shows up, I feel it's, well, it's fun to understand what happened, and I'll sit down and do a little programming and try to understand what it is. So, in a sense, it's a sideline, but I'd sure prefer it if there were no more. I'd much prefer to be back in astronomy.
Well, Clifford Stoll, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Many, many thanks.